Good morning, New Hampshire.
One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. Two can be as bad as one. It's the loneliest number since the number one.
Well, one was a lonely number for Three Dog Night, but it's our pleasure to welcome from Congressional District 1, Congressman Chris Pappas. I know you were wondering where I was going with that.
He's not a lonely number whatsoever. He's got good people around him, and he's doing the right thing.
How are you, Chris?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm doing okay. I hope you're doing well, too.
I think so, yeah. Do you know of anybody who has contracted COVID-19?
Well, I have some colleagues in D.C. that have, tested positive for COVID over the last couple months.
Okay.
We see the stories around New Hampshire, particularly the nursing homes, the long-term care facilities.
Oh, that, yeah.
You know, you hear, I've heard of some folks that have lost loved ones, and, it just breaks your heart to see the way it's spreading like wildfire in those settings.
I know. It really does, because they're sadly a captive audience, you know?
Yeah.
Are you now, I mean, you passed the bill to try to help people. Now we've had a little bit of time that has transpired. When you look back and you hear from constituents, are you happy with the results of the bill? Do we need more? Did we need less? What do you think?
Well, I think, the lessons from the Great Recession were that you need to go big early on to help mitigate the, disastrous economic impacts on individuals and also put the economy on the right footing. But this is in a whole different category because this is not, first and foremost, an economic catastrophe. It's a public health crisis that has brought about economic disaster. So we really can't solve the economic pain that people are experiencing if we don't, make sure that we confront and beat this virus. And it's going to take some time to do that. So I think in addition to what we've already done, we've got to look at how we make refinements and push forward additional support in the coming weeks. We'll be back in Washington later this week, and I'm hopeful that a bill will concern the House. We'll have significant support for state and local government. What I've been hearing from my towns, counties, as well as the state, is that they need more resources. They're seeing their revenue drying up right now. And what we can't afford to have happen during a pandemic is to have budgets being cut for police, fire, EMS, education, all these critical services. So that's where the federal government can continue to be the backstop, and I think it has a role to play going forward.
I know, Congressman, you wrote a letter to House leadership calling for reforms to make sure that the Paycheck Protection Program is more responsive to the needs of Granite State businesses. What did you request them to do for changes that would make this program more adaptable for Granite Staters?
Well, it's a program that was new, when the CARES Act was passed. It has helped a number of New Hampshire businesses. Over 20,000 have accessed more than $2.5 billion through that program. But, by the end of June, you have to be back to 100% to take advantage of the forgiveness provisions that are in the Paycheck Protection Program. And that's hard or even impossible for most New Hampshire businesses. When there are restrictive orders that are still in place where you can only be operating at, say, 50% of capacity, when you're having a hard time hiring people back, maybe your employees don't feel safe on the job yet, it's going to be hard for you to really take advantage of that tool. So I think we need additional opportunities for businesses. I'd like to see some changes that have a longer ramp up in the Paycheck Protection Program for businesses to bring back workers safely and reopen. In addition to that, I think it's got to be more flexible for how much money can be spent on payroll versus, you know, utilities and overhead and all the other expenses that businesses have to deal with. We have a small business culture here in New Hampshire. 99% of our workers are employed by a small business, and we've got to make sure that we tailor any additional help to their unique needs. So PPP works for a lot of our companies. It's been accessed, but over the longer term, we need other options so that we can continue to allow them to weather this storm.
Right, because again, the backside of this storm is not going to end on July 4th here in New Hampshire.
No. You know, in some ways, we're at the mercy of the virus. The virus is on its own timetable. And we've got to do everything with public health as the central component. So it's great that, you know, the reopening committee has outlined some different stages to how New Hampshire can safely reopen. And I think that's sensible. And it has to be done in a staged fashion. But it also has to be done every step of the way with continuing to monitor this virus, ramping up testing capacity, being able to trace it and isolate individuals who are sick. Without those components, it's hard to get back there, and the future, you know, continues to look potentially murky. You know, we could see a resurgence of this virus if we're not careful. We don't want to be right back where we were when this pandemic started, because for both the health reasons and, you know, the reasons, you know, for our economy. So there's a lot of work ahead, and I think we've got to continue to look at those, you know, at the public health data to guide us.
What kind of feedback is your office getting from New Hampshire businesses about the CARES Act? They like it, don't like it, it's okay, it needs improvement, we need more money, because obviously you're going to use that as a basis for determining where you go next.
Sure. We've heard from a number of businesses early on that were frustrated with the process. SBA, this was a new program, and so it took a while to get out clear and consistent guidance to our businesses and also to our local lenders that are making these Paycheck Protection Program loans. Our lending community in New Hampshire, our community banks and credit unions have done a tremendous job at deciphering a pretty complicated program and making sure that our businesses get the help that they need. So it's gotten a lot better over time. There's another program that I think we should be providing more support for, which fewer businesses have been able to access, but it's the economic injury disaster loans that come with a $10,000 upfront grant. These disaster loans can be taken out over a 30-year period, and so it allows our businesses to spread out the pain they're experiencing right now over a much longer period of time. And so that's good for our economy. It's good for our workers who hope to return to the job soon. So I think we should be looking for more support for that particular program. And that's something that some businesses have wanted to access, but they're still waiting in the queue with their applications,
sure.
Not yet approved by SBA.
I know the New Hampshire Bankers Association processed about 7,500 loans in 2 weeks on the PPP program, which is huge turnaround, quick turnaround for them.
And we've been hearing about banks that were, you know, literally at midnight filing applications because they found that, you know, the system, they could get through at that point in time where the system was overloaded during the middle of the day. So
right.
They've been really going the extra mile to make sure this can work.
I see Kristen sent out a press release that you are doing a media call today. Today? The 12th. Yeah, today. To discuss support for the Employee Retention Tax Credit Improvement. What is that all about?
So that's a tax credit that was authorized in the CARES Act, and it's another opportunity for businesses who are able to retain workers to, you know, get a tax credit toward their quarterly federal payroll taxes for payroll and benefit costs. And right now, if you're getting one of these PPP loans, you can't get the tax credit. And so we have legislation, bipartisan legislation, that will allow businesses to take advantage of both. Because really, you know, right now, without any changes, PPP ends pretty soon. We're going to need something that looks much longer over the horizon for businesses to be able to bring workers back and be able to meet their costs.
Right, and even maybe to save some businesses that they may be thinking right now, I don't know if I'm going to make it.
That's right. We hear that a lot, and no one has a plan for this, frankly. You know, no business has a cash reserve or, you know, has a business plan that's going to, looking out for a pandemic. So
right.
This is new to our business community here, and we're all trying to figure out, what lifelines are out there that folks can grab to hang on to weather this storm. We do hope that, we will be able to slowly return to normalcy. But, again, that's according to not only a public health timeline, but whatever the virus has in store for us over the long term. We do hope we can rush a workable treatment and vaccine to the American people, especially to vulnerable individuals like our senior citizens. Most think that later this year, perhaps early next year, would be even an accelerated timeline. So we're going to be living with this, in this sort of phase for several months, and we've got to adapt our behavior. We all have to practice social distancing, be wearing our masks in public when we go to the grocery store and other places, and businesses and our workers are going to have to adapt too.
First District Congressman Chris Pappas with us. We hear that the House is drafting a follow-up bill, and there are some whispers that it could be close to $3 trillion when finished, and it's expected to include more than a trillion, with a T, in aid for state and local governments. That's great, and I think most people applaud it. My question is this going to come back to bite me in a year or 2 years when tax rate, who's paying for? How do we pay for this, Congressman? That's what scares people.
Well, we all absolutely have to be conscious of, what the outlays are. But, at this point in time, it's appropriate for the federal government to be a backstop for states and cities and towns, because we're going to put a lot of local governments and states in the position of, am I going to have to jack up property taxes or cut your vital services? And I think those are two really bad choices,
right,
to force local and state governments to be making during a pandemic like this. So we don't want to see the type of downshifting that could potentially happen, not only to local governments, but to your pocketbook if the federal government doesn't act in this manner. Look, when the economy is growing, that's the time to work to get the budget back into balance.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that didn't happen over the last several years, especially as we saw tax cuts going to, those at the higher end of the spectrum that
right.
frankly didn't need a tax cut at a time of economic growth.
Mm-hmm.
But now is the time where the federal government does have to step forward and think about how it can, rescue and also, provide some economic stimulus. We do need to make sure that we provide some significant outlays now so that our economy can come back stronger later.
You know, Chris, these are historic times, and you've got a front row seat to history. You're helping to write it. Is that point ever lost on you?
Well, when I first ran for Congress, I knew it was a different time in, the history of our nation and certainly in our political life. But I didn't anticipate how different it would be, especially now that we're living with this virus that has changed all of our behavior and really upended life as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is different and certainly nothing anyone would wish on the American people. But I got to say, you see the goodness of the people of New Hampshire shining through this really terrible experience. You see those that are looking to, help secure and make, masks and gowns for our frontline healthcare workers. You see, restaurants who are going through tough times donating food to these workers. You see businesses making hand sanitizer and dropping it off at the local fire department. So people are coming through, and it's an all hands on deck kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll continue to play our part, and I'd like to give my team some credit. We have a staff of individuals here in New Hampshire and in D.C. who have been answering the phone calls of folks who just need help getting connected to benefits, have questions about the IRS. We're getting unemployment calls. It's sort of a spillover from the state, people who need answers and are desperate. So we're doing all we can to help, and would urge people to continue to reach out to us You can reach our office at 285-4300, and happy to answer any of your questions and hear your concerns and find out if we can help.
That's probably the most important thing, constituent service right now.
Yep, right there.
People want to have a go-to, and I think that's fabulous. Now, when you were talking about the goodness of New Hampshire, you meant all of New Hampshire, not just the people in District 1, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
People in both districts, people in every corner, every county, regardless of politics.
Okay.
People have been coming together in a tremendous way, and that is a silver lining.
Well, I live in District 2. That's why I just wanted to check.
we're not leaving you out. Don't worry.
Thank you. Thank you, Congressman. I appreciate that. Chris, we appreciate the time as always. Please keep us in the loop, and anything shakes, let us know, because, again, you know, there's a lot of national information that people are considering white noise, but the more local New Hampshire information we can give them, I think the better we're going to be.
Absolutely.
So
great spending some time with you, and hope you stay safe.
You too.
You too, Chris. And we are an outlet. We're here.
We will talk to you later, Congressman. Thank you.
All right. Be well.
See ya. Congressman Chris Pappas.
Awesome.
There you go.
That was great.
I just wanted to make sure he wasn't dissing.
That was great. No, he's not. He's not dissing anybody. He's for the people. You know what? He was very New Hampshire speaking.
Yeah.
He was very New Hampshire speaking.
But Chris at Presidential Oaks earlier this morning said, you know, this is history.
Yeah.
And I was struck by that comment because we're so involved with it. We really don't have the benefit of perspective where we can step back and just kind of watch it.
Can't see the forest through the trees.
You really can't.
Know, yeah.
And Chris is on the front line.
Yeah, I know.
He's one of the guys signing, you know, sending bills and doing money. And I'm like, all right, where's the money coming from?
Yeah.
And he's right. We're concerned about that. But you can't be penny wise and pound foolish or whatever now.
Because there is a need right now.
And I get
that. There is a need right now.
But
right
I also don't feel like mortgaging my future, my kids' future, blah, blah, blah,
mm-hmm.
because we're going to be, you know, umpteen trillion in debt. So how do we balance this stuff?
Yeah, and I don't think people are necessarily against another stimulus bill. I think anybody that is just a little hesitant, okay, let's just see if the first one is really has made a difference.
That's what
you
Mitch McConnell's saying.
Spending the money out.
Before we go throw more money at the problem, can we figure out if we address the problem before we throw more money at it?
Yeah, well, like, have we in New Hampshire spent the $1.25 billion that have been sent to us? I don't think so yet. So we do not know the effect of what that money has done to stave off economic disaster and keep everybody safe and healthy.
I could use another $1,200 just to consider
it. I was going to throw that in there. I thought it was selfish. So I decided, let's just wait and see.
You don't ask, you don't get.
I know.
8:53, we're taking a break, back with more.